everyone. It's time for Connectivity 205. I'm your host, Nicholas Bray, and today we have, once again, Adam Abunasa.
Hey, you guys, I got engaged.
You got engaged?
Just go on to the next person.
Okay. Carmine Red.
Hey, guys.
And
congratulations, Adam!
And Brian Rose as well.
Hello, and I do send my congratulations to Adam as well.
Thanks.
Okay, so Carmine, what are you doing? What's been up? You haven't been on for a little while.
I don't know. I think recently I got bit by that NX rumor bug.
Uh-oh.
And I went in the forums and caused some trouble. I bumped a couple threads.
I'm getting real sick of NX rumors and NX speculation. I mean, it's not fun. It's not like with the Wii where it was like more like it was fun to speculate in that. Now with the NX, it just feels so. Tell us something already.
What? Yeah. Wait. What makes it like we didn't know much about the Revolution until October where
that
like
whole period,
Nintendo put
though,
out that
felt
video
a little more fun than the NX stuff. It's like, I don't know.
I guess maybe, but I mean, maybe it's just mindset. It's like, now whenever we talk about NX, we're talking about it in terms of negativity, and it's not going to be at E3. That's all anyone, you know, that's all anyone says, and it's not going to be this, and it's not going to be that. Instead of talking about, like, the crazy stuff it might do, you know? And I always get excited about the idea that Nintendo's combined their handheld and their console part, and they put them all together. So I'm like, wow, imagine like if every game on that we had on 3DS or Wii or Wii U, you could choose any game and you know, to play them on either. I mean, obviously this is all speculation, but this is the fun stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
This is the fun stuff to talk. What is going to be different about this? It doesn't, and obviously there's stuff Nintendo is not going to do, you know, but the idea space is so big right now, and I think it can be fun. And you temper that with a little bit of, oh, but of course it can't cost $600. And that's sort of the limitation you work in.
Yeah, I don't see Nintendo putting out a $600 box somehow, but that's good for us, I guess.
Yeah, I need more money for Amiibo, so the lower the cost, the more Amiibo I can buy.
The more Amiibo you have, the stronger the console is.
Maybe the Amiibo will unlock, like, coupons, like in My Nintendo. Like, scan an Amiibo and you get, like, 10 cents off an NX.
Maybe the NX will have a 3D printer attachment, so you can just print your Amiibo out.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Is that what the NX is?
For a second there, I thought I saw something on a tweet where they would 3D print, like, your custom, like Amiibo, a figurine or something. That's what I thought Skylanders was going to be, which they just announced, like, in the past couple of days, the next Skylanders. Hmm. I thought when they said, oh, you can make any Skylander you want, I thought that meant you could, like, create something in the game. You could call into, you know, Toys for Bob and Activision, and they would 3D print a Skylander of that, of your whatever your in-game model was, and then they'd ship it to your door.
Hmm.
Wait, that's awesome. But then how would you collect them all? If there's like limitless combinations, you just keep making more and more.
They'll be rich!
They can melt down all those Disney Infinity figures.
In fact, there was a DS game where you could design jewelry and contact the company and they'd send you the jewelry you designed. It was like necklaces. Hmm. So I guess it was just like cut beads and stuff, but it's been
Carmine,
done.
Why do you know these things? Where do you find these games?
It's what happens when you live on the internet for a couple of years and don't even have time to play games because you're a NeoGap all the time.
Like a distinct digital like avatar on the internet now. He's not a real person anymore.
Are you like Wade from Kim Possible?
But if I was a digital person on the internet, how could I play Just Dance, huh?
You're one of the dancers
in
the game.
That's what I thought.
Just Dance. It, all this, it happens off the screen, guys. I'm a real kid, okay? Anyways.
Sure.
Anyway, let's move on.
I'm actually Tay 1.0.
Anyway, let's move on to Brian. So, Brian, what's been happening?
This week I've been playing Kingdom Hearts 1.5 Final Mix. Ah. So, I'm like up to Atlantica, and from what I've played, I played it a long time ago on PS2, so I'm pretty familiar with it. I'm just kind of better at it than I was back then. It's the thing with Kingdom Hearts is the first game is pretty fun because the storyline mostly makes sense. It's about Sora wanting to look for his friend Kairi, and you go travel across all these very familiar Disney worlds. It's all very fun, very familiar. The graphics pretty much stand up compared to what they they're very colorful and sharp, and they look really good. But you know, once you leave that game, it's like the storyline just takes a complete 180 turn, and it's a bunch of incoherent storylines featuring a bunch of incoherent people with crazy hairstyles and ice cream and dark hoods and
zippers.
Very long dialogues about stuff that when you actually like read it, the dialogue is supposed to be like meaningful, but it really isn't. That's how I kind of read most of this game's storyline, you know, post Kingdom Hearts 1. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's very, it doesn't make a ton of sense. But the actual gameplay of this, of these games is pretty fun for the most part.
I have a question. You said you're better at it now than before.
Yeah.
What do you mean? When did you first play it, and how are you better at it now?
I'm better at video games than it was back then. It came out in 2002. I probably played it like maybe a couple of years after that. No, I remember playing Kingdom Hearts 2 when it came out, like right after in 2005. So I played it before then. So yeah, I probably played it once it came out. So I'm just better at games than I was back then. I mean, just as you play more diverse games, you kind of like get the feel of each and every one of them. So once I started playing Kingdom Hearts again and I got used to the controls and everything, I was fine. The camera though doesn't hold up at all. The camera's really bad, but they fixed that in the sequel, so that's cool.
I think you're missing the point of Kingdom Hearts.
Okay.
Like, you're talking about the story and the gameplay and the graphics and stuff. It's all about that one song, the only song in the whole series.
When you walk away.
Simple Clean, you know?
You don't hear me say.
You don't hear me say, please, oh baby, don't go.
Oh, dang.
That is a catchy song.
There was a song for the second game, too, which was also by the same artist.
There is.
I thought it was just a remix of Simple and Clean.
No, yeah. I don't think it was.
They play that commercial like all the time, too, with that
everywhere.
Song.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so it's a very memorable song.
I mean, that's why I play Kingdom Hearts games, because then once you beat them, over the credits, there's, like, an awesome remix. It's like, when you walk away, you don't hear me. It's like way awesome. That's the whole point of those games.
This you is what we need. We need Kingdom Hearts Amiibo, and you pass them and they start singing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah, I would definitely buy
that's the next thing. We have musical Amiibo. That'll be the next wave.
Yeah. That would be awesome.
Well, they're the Callie and Marie for Splatoon, the unlocked songs.
Yeah, I changed my mind now.
The figure itself has to sing now. Oh my god.
I didn't like that. That's kind of lame, honestly. I think it's just they want to play them out.
It's underwhelming.
Yeah, it's underwhelming. Just, they're putting them out to put them out, and they add some sort of nice little thing for you to do if you scan it in.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, they sing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they should frame it not as it unlocks the song. It should be like a full-scale concert. They should sell it like that. see in-game concept, you know. did you guys see the video of the real life
concert they did
for Splatoon? That was awesome. I've heard of it. It is awesome. Look it up on YouTube. I forget any keywords because I don't understand Japanese, but it's, find it. It is impressive. The, whatever holographic, whatever like projection technology they have to show the characters looks pretty good when you're that far away, you know. And, if there was something like that in the US, totally down.
I'll see you there, Carmine.
Yeah. But I really wish we got like a single player expansion for Splatoon. Maybe for
That would be nice.
I thought they'd have done that a long time ago. But I mean, maybe it's, if it's multiplayer is the draw, then that's where they focus.
I reckon they should just focus on making like a sequel now. And get it out for NX.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
For the NX, right? Yeah. Come to the NWR forums where we discuss this and other topics.
So, Adam, what about you?
The other day, I came home from work and I was like, I should play a video game. And I was like, what video game should I play? So I turn up, I don't know why I'm telling you this. This is what everyone does every time they play video games. This is what everyone does always. Okay, so I turn on my PS4 because I was, every time I look at my Wii U, I'm like, oh yeah, there's no games for Wii U. Which makes me like, it breaks my heart, but also
I don't have that problem. I'm running out of, running out of space in the Wii U.
I know, I still have like 100 hours of Xenoblade and I didn't play any of those Humble Bundle games and I played Star Fox once, as in like one time, like I didn't beat it once, like I just played like one level. But I turned on my PS4, that was the choice that I made. And I was digging through all of the PlayStation Plus games that I've never played. And there was one called Strider, and I was like, isn't this about a ninja? I feel like being a ninja. It's awesome! Yeah. So, okay, you're a ninja, but you're like a robot ninja.
Yeah.
And you run around, and you're like, and you cut things up, like people up. And you're fighting like robots. And I think you're in like evil Russia or something. Like, I don't know.
There's a classic like, game, right? Like a Super NES game?
It was based on...
Or did they remake it?
Okay, Strider's like an old Genesis game, but he's more popular in like the Marvel vs. Capcom series. But a few years ago, Capcom revived him for a new game. That's out on PS4, Xbox One, and stuff like that.
Yeah, so I did not know.
I think the old game was on Virtual Console at some point.
Possibly.
I feel like that's the case.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did not know who this guy was. So I was just playing the ninja game, running around. Like, I thought it was just going to be like a platformer. Like, you run around and you kill things. Like, it was free. I had it forever. No, turns out it's like a really good Metroid game. But instead of being like a robot woman, you are a ninja robot man. And it's awesome. Like, you go and you find all these upgrades. Whenever you upgrade something, like, the camera, like, swoops in and zooms in and he's looking there. Like, all, like, ninja, all cool and stuff.
Is he a robot? There are I don't know if he's a robot or not.
I don't know if he's a robot. Everyone that he fights explodes and sometimes he, like, whatever. They're all robots.
Sure.
All the Metroid characters are robots.
Okay.
But he's, it's really cool. Like, I was surprised. It, like, sucked me in. I ended up playing it for a couple hours that night, and then the next day was my day off, and I was like, I have so much stuff to do. And I just played it for, like, hours.
Oh, sweet. And
I felt like, oh, I have to be almost done with this game, right? And I, like, hit the pause button or something, and it said, like, game completion 40%. And I was like, what? I still have more awesome ninja thing. But anyways, the bosses in this game are really cool. Like, they're all really varied in their attack patterns and stuff. And there are a lot of different bosses. Like, every, like, maybe 20 minutes, like, you run into a boss. And then some of the smaller bosses just become, like, common enemies. So you run into, like, this giant robot thing, and you're like, whoa, that's awesome! It takes you forever to kill it. But then, like, you run into those giant robot things everywhere, and you get, like, a lot better at killing them. But the abilities you have are really cool, and you keep getting new abilities, and all really creative. Like, if you play a Metroid game, you know all of the things that Samus can do. So, like, when she gets them, you're like, oh, I knew that she could do that. Nothing surprises me. Like, kind of like in Zelda when you get the hook shot, like, you know, the wonder has worn off. But in this one, you get all sorts of stuff that I've never seen before in the Strider game. So, I don't know. I'm very, very happy that I decided to play this ninja game.
How long did you go before this without having played a game?
Any game?
Well, I guess, yeah. Like, Street Pass doesn't count.
Oh, no, I don't really Street Pass anymore. I played Twilight Princess, like, a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. I find that, like, I game these days in, like, binges. Like, yeah. There'll be a weekend where I, like you, I sit down and, like, I want to play something. I've got lots of time. And I end up playing, like, 14 hours over 2 days or something. And then I go for, like, a month without it because there's, like, too much other life happening, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened with Twilight Princess. I played it, like, the second half of it all in, like, one or two sittings and then went a couple weeks without it.
But then it's such a great feeling I find when I do get back to something and then I play another 14 hours, I'm like, I still have it. You know, I haven't lost that. I can still waste an entire day playing a video game. It's still part of me.
The thing with me is...
It's important not to grow up too fast.
The thing with me is I have such a giant backlog. I mean, I'm meaning to play Kingdom Hearts more every day because I want to eventually be able to beat it, but now it's like I have this pressure, like, crap, I finish this because I have, like, two of the Zelda Wii U games to beat. I have Kingdom Hearts 2, and then there's, like, another Kingdom Hearts game that's on 1.5, which is, like, the Game Boy Advance remake. And,
Oh, that's actually really good.
Isn't that just cutscenes? Or is it the
No, that's game? 382/something days.
Oh.
And that's all a story. Gosh. That's, like, 2.5 hours, too. And I actually watched it all. So.
And it's 358/2 days, yeah. And that's actually the best Kingdom Hearts game.
It makes no sense. I'm sorry. They spent, like 90% of that game sitting on that clock tower eating ice cream.
Yeah, the cutscenes are stupid. But the combat and the mission system is really fun. Each mission that you go on is, like, 10 minutes long, max. So, like, they're all really bite-sized, and they have ranks and stuff. And then you can replay all the missions as any character you want. So you can play as Mickey, you can play as any of the Organization 13 people. So that's really cool. They all have, like, little different play styles.
That sounds a million times cooler than the cutscenes.
Yeah, the cutscenes are only okay, and the story is only impactful if you play through the whole game. So that was a bummer they did that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, going back to getting through games and stuff, like, yeah, I go, like, weeks without playing anything these days, but, like, you know, it just depends what you feel like playing. I mean, I don't think you should freak out about your backlog, really, Brian. Just, like, if you're in the mood for something, pick it off the shelf and you've got it there, sort of thing. Like, you know, like, it doesn't really matter if you haven't played them
a whole lot.
I guess
it's... Despite what the internet says.
The main thing is, like, I stopped, like, I really cut down on, like, buying new games. Like, I only buy, like, ones that I know that I really like, or really like and stuff, and, like, mainly just Nintendo games I'll buy day one, but... if you get out of that, like, you must buy every new, like, all the new releases, like, the day one and stuff, like, it becomes a bit more manageable. And then, yeah, just, like, don't really worry about getting through a particular game. If you're not in the mood for Kingdom Hearts, just don't play it. Put something else in for a day or two. Yeah.
I mean, like, I bought Uncharted 2, so I have to play that too.
Oh, jeez.
At least Uncharted's, like, Uncharted is, like, a good game to go through because they're, like, so linear and you can knock them over really fast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I kind of feel guilty. I just need to finish it, but I know. If I don't feel like it, I don't have to do it. I'll just play Pokemon. Whatever.
I mean, I've got, like, going into my sort of what I've been doing, all these new games that I've got, but I've just been playing Ocarina of Time again. I mean, I've probably played it, like, 25 times now. But I finished the Spirit Temple, and I finished Ganon's Tower last night. I played it for like half an hour and finished it. So, yay.
Yeah, I like to call my backlog my retirement plan.
Or retirement fund. If you wait like 50 years, in you know, you might be able to sell them for like a lot of money.
That's my plan the Amiibo.
That's what I'm going to do when I retire. Like, well, I can finally play the Sonic RPG now.
I should probably go to Target and buy a bunch of the $4 Amiibo that I haven't got, just because, you know, in 20 years, they'll be like, these Amiibo are now worth like $100 each in box.
No, and the people in 100 years still aren't going to want the fucking Tom Nook Amiibo.
I mean, in 20 years, there's going to be people going for full sets of Amiibo in box condition. It's just going to be.
No, in a million years, the archaeologists will be like, oh no, we don't want the Tom Nook Amiibo. Do you have a Marth?
Yeah. Why do you do this to me?
Why did Nintendo do this to Tom Nook?
There'll be he's fossilized Amiibo things. They'd be like, what are these people doing?
Yeah, when the aliens take over the Earth and they start digging through our collections and... first off, we're going to, like, probably all kill each other and wipe out civilization ourselves. Then the aliens are going to come down and they're going to investigate what the hell we've been doing. And they're going to find out what we've been playing all along was with Amiibo. And they're going to be all like, do you really want to communicate with these people? We really want to see what they did for so many years.
The only thing left from human civilization is a Jigglypuff Amiibo.
Yeah, the Jigglypuff Amiibo. Rosalina. Buma. Yeah.
The archaeologists will do all this research on the Amiibo and be like, you know, after hundreds of years of research, we still don't know what they used them for.
Oh, we don't know either.
The shelf displays, I guess.
They look really nice on a shelf.
Some of them.
Yeah.
All right, so I will just take a short break and we'll come back with a listener mail question, I think. And then we'll move on to our main topic after that. So we'll be back in a sec.
Welcome back, everybody. Carmine?
That was really abrupt.
Smooth.
We're going to do listener mail now, so Carmine, take the letter for us.
Yep, and this one's from NintyFan87.
Yeah.
Question for the connectivity crew. I always want to send in a question, but I can't think of anything. So here you go. What is your guys' greatest gaming accomplishment? I think mine is I came home from work one night, I wanted to sit down and finally complete the very last star in Mario Galaxy 2. I promised myself I would not move from that spot until I got it. It took me 6 hours to finally complete it, but I did. Also getting 3 stars on Mario Kart Wii on every single cup. I don't even know how much times I had to restart every cup because I didn't get the first. And that's from NintyFan87. Huh. I don't think I've done that for the last Mario Kart, actually.
I've never done that.
I tried to do it on Wii and didn't, I sort of gave up. On Wii U, I got into it.
I think I did it on Wii.
Yeah, I got into it on Mario Kart 8, and I think I've still got to do like a couple of cups on the mirror mode difficulty. I can't remember. But as far as like accomplishments that I'm proud of, nothing's coming to mind. I know there's a bunch of stuff that was really hard to do, but I can't put my finger on exactly what. I guess a more recent one was maybe I got everything in Donkey Kong 64 like last year. I just sat down and I wasn't intending to. I was like, I'm not going to get everything. I'll just play the game for a while and check it out. But I ended up just, I ended up getting everything. So,
dang, old school collectathon.
Yeah, I was sort of in like a mood where I was sort of like slightly down, I guess, and I was just like, I need something mindless to play so I can wallow in whatever I was feeling at the time. Donkey Kong 64 is good for like just tuning yourself out on.
Well, my greatest gaming accomplishment, it was really hard to do, but I happen to have 78 amiibo.
that's just buying stuff. That doesn't count.
That's what I'm best at.
Although
okay?
You did send
very to, good. You at did
send
money.
Your did you send your sister out into the snow to get you an amiibo? Or did you do
no,
that yourself?
No, I left her out in the snow while I was camping for an amiibo.
Even better.
Gosh. She was moving into my apartment during a snowstorm, and I was camped outside of a Target.
Wait, was this for... Okay, yeah. Was it for Rosalina?
Yeah.
It's Rosalina.
That was
she's
crazy.
Still not out.
I remember that.
As long as it wasn't Tom Nook, it was Rosalina, so...
It was, man. I needed that Tom Nook.
Like, for amiibo...
You know, the other day I saw...
Like for amiibo,
I saw a Peach.
Go ahead.
The other day I saw a Peach amiibo. Oh, just sitting on the shelf. Can you guys believe that those things are still out there?
Which is Smash Bros. Peach?
Smash Bros. Peach.
Huh.
Isn't she evergreen now? They said she's evergreen sales.
I haven't seen a Smash Mario for ages, and I'm kind of considering getting one.
You don't have one?
No, I haven't got Mario one.
You don't have every amiibo?
No.
Oh my god.
I have decided to just get the ones that I like.
Mm.
So.
Mm. Smarter than I am.
I got Ness. I got Marth.
I do not have an extra Mario Smash. Sorry.
Oh, they're even rare in Carmine's wares.
So, gaming accomplishments though.
Okay, probably my real one would be I was like 11 years old, and I had just found out about Final Fantasy, and I was like, oh, this game looks so cool. And there was this game at the store called Final Fantasy Tactics. Mm. And I was like, I want that. And my mom was like, well, we can just buy you a game. So I had to clean my entire room, which, like, you know, it doesn't sound like a big deal. But when you're my age and you were a very messy child, then it is a very big deal. So I cleaned my whole room. And I go and I get this weird ass Final Fantasy game.
Good choice.
And it's
though.
Like, yeah, it's so bizarre. But I was like 11 years old. I didn't know what was going on. It took me like a week to figure out how to place more than one unit in like the tutorial. I kept dying over and over again, just because I had like the two story characters.
Yeah. Is this the not, like, PS1 version?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I died a lot.
Yeah, that game was really hard. Game. Yeah,
I beat that game before going into middle school, and it was very hard. And a lot of the like sentences weren't real sentences. Like, but I beat it, damn it, and I'm very proud of it.
Chops.
It's like, thank you.
I did not beat that game.
I didn't either.
I tried to level, and then the game punished me for it.
I beat Advance, but I did not beat the first one. That's really hard.
Yeah, I don't think I could do it again.
Yeah.
Don't have it in me anymore. I mean, shit, I can't even clean my room again.
The high point of your accomplishments, both
exactly,
home economy wise and gaming wise.
I think Mario Galaxy does come to mind. Like the first one, the Luigi's Purple Coins was pretty tough. For a while. Do you remember the one where you gotta, like, collect all the purple coins?
Oh, yeah, yep.
And the,
yep. That was the one that I quit that
the,
game
The platforms disappear or they start rotating when you touch them.
Yep.
So you gotta, like, work out the right route to get through the whole thing. But that was, like, I enjoy that sort of, those sort of challenges, like, where it's, like, completely skill-based. It's completely, like, you just gotta be really good at it. And every now and then, like, you get a challenge, and it's like, yeah, that's fun. Especially after you complete it, it's just like, it's done.
No, that level, it left such a bad taste in my mouth that still, like, 10 years later, I have an unopened copy of Super Mario Galaxy 2.
What? Yeah, I didn't really... That, I didn't
fuck that level so hard, I won't even play the sequel.
I think there was some tougher stuff in Galaxy 2, if I remember correctly.
Okay, I'll be sure to play it right away.
Huh. I think I caught a Hyrule Loach once. No.
Oh,
no.
I caught the Loach.
I got once. The guy's hat. There you go.
My cousin caught the Loach. It, so that's not mine.
I catch the Loach every playthrough.
Oh my god, okay.
That's right, it's part of beating it. You have
I to. Got a Sword of Kings in Earthbound on my first playthrough. That was awesome. That's more of a random drop, but
yeah, I, got,
I felt really good about it.
In Golden Sun 1, there's the strongest sword in the game is a random drop. I got that.
That's weird.
And then, like, on my second playthrough, I just played Magic Hat over and over and over again, and it never dropped again. So, it's still one time. But, Well, actually, I think, to be honest, like, my real thing that I'm most proud of is outside the world of Nintendo, I used to play like a ton of Blizzard games. And I think the pinnacle was Warcraft 3 because they had a map editor there and it was very powerful, but it hadn't gotten too complex yet. Like the games after Warcraft 3, the map editor for StarCraft 2 is really complex and I just could not climb that learning curve. I didn't have the time or energy. But Warcraft 3, my brother and I sat down and we made a custom map. So it's usually an RTS, but because you have basically a lot of triggers and graphical user interface pseudo-programming going on in that map editor, you can make a custom map that will behave anything. You can make tower defenses in there. You can make Dota-type games in there. Of course, that's where Dota came from. We made it was called in the Warcraft 3 circles... It was a niche called Real Life Games or Life of a Peasant Games. And they're basically simulation type maps where you have a character and you run around and the map is designed like a real city. So it's sort of like GTA with World of Warcraft characters. And you run around, you get a job, you earn money. And every piece of that, because there's no jobs per se, there's no grocery stores in Warcraft 3. Everything is abstracted, and you go in there and you create custom code and you attach custom icons and then you make text pop up on the screen, and it's like now this area is like a wharf, this area is a museum, this area is a grocery store, this is a mansion, and how do you buy it? You have to interact with this, you have to right click on this item, it'll bring up a dialogue. And my brother and I worked on that for like a year. We put it out and then we worked on another year fixing bugs and adding features. And every once in a while, we find my brother's name is, my brother's call sign was Moron, son of Boron. And I was Harkandel. And every once in a while, we find like people who have played the map and remember it. And like remind us of like how much fun we had coming home every day and like working on that for like 4 hours.
Yeah.
For like 2 years.
Wow.
I think that's what actually got me into programming. I never took programming in high school. But after that, I was like, you know what? I want to take a programming class.
So it's like your superhero origin story?
So creative stuff like that.
Like if they go back and they do X-Men Origins Carmine, it's going to be about the custom maps.
I have like an almost custom like maps. Really cool accomplishment. It's like I almost got... You know, I got a lot of the emblems in Sonic Adventure 2 Battle on GameCube. I just... Near the end, I just couldn't do it anymore. Like, getting S rank on every single mission is, like, just...
Okay, I don't think you get the point of Sonic Adventure 2 Battle. It's all about the music.
Yeah. Yeah, all about too. Pretty much. But, you know, I really wanted to get that Green Hill Zone remake, so...
Yeah.
But, you know, I did get it anyway, because I resorted to action replay. You know,
I still don't think that thing is real. Anyway. No, it's not. There's no way. There's no way that anyone could get all those emblems.
And the GBA Mario Kart, I really wanted to try and get all three of the stars in that game. but it's really hard as well. Like, it's much harder than what they ended up sort of dubbing it down to by Mario Kart 8, which is just come first in every track. Like, you could come first in every race in the GBA one and still not have 3 stars. Because it comes down to other things, like how many times you get hit or how many times you use an item and stuff like that. I don't think anyone really knows the exact variables, because like some people say you're not allowed to use any items to, like, if you use an item, it'll automatically flag you as like a 2-star accomplishment.
What the fuck?
I did get a bunch of them without using items. So you just got to be like that far out in front to not use items. But I'm not exactly sure of the exact requirements, but it's really hard to get it 3 stars in the GBA version of Mario Kart.
That's opaque.
And that was the first game that they introduced that setup in as well.
Brian, you ever accomplished anything?
Yep.
I mean, you told us about...
I sure have.
Have you ever accomplished anything?
No. Well, I did complete, like, the Pokédex in full.
Actually, I think your living Pokédex accomplishment is pretty good. Almost there.
I'm almost there.
Yeah, that's good.
I've completed, like, the National Pokédex. I just don't have every single Pokémon yet. But I finally did get the full Pokédex. I got the certificate in X and Y a few years ago. So I felt pretty accomplished by that, because it contains, like, a bunch of Pokémon I've collected, like, since Fire Red and Leaf Green to... Yeah. You know, X and Y, so getting all that together was pretty awesome. And what else? I mean that's like
what else would you have time for if you're doing something like that?
I spend like a ton of time playing Pokemon and getting like every single one, and especially, like, the ones that don't involve, it's all, like, level 45, level 50. That's, like, the worst kind, especially. Especially if you play in post-game where, like, the only place where you can really, like, level up pretty quickly is, like, in Elite Four. So it took a long time, and I never did it in any game up until X and Y. So once I finally got it, I felt pretty accomplished. Like, yeah, I've been waiting to catch them all for, like, 20 years, almost 20 years. So now that I finally did it, I'm like, yeah, awesome. I finally caught them all. Just in time for the new ones to come out so I can capture like 100 more.
Yeah, you haven't caught them all because you don't have a Litten or a Popplio or a Rowlet.
No. Well, if you think that way, then I'm never going to catch them all. I don't know the saying, but yeah, it's like a never-ending story kind of thing.
See,
I'll never catch them all, but I've caught them all currently.
No, what you have to do is you have to catch all the Pokemon and then kill every creature on Earth with imagination so that no one can ever create any more Pokemon.
This sounds like a super...
Well, that's the only way that you can catch them all.
That sounds mean.
I mean, you gotta... What is it... Here, let me check. What does it say on the front of the box? It says... Oh, it's on the back now. It says, gotta catch them all. But you can't catch them all. It's impossible.
Yeah.
The only way is to make them stop making more.
I think they've had that tagline on the box since Red and Blue, right?
They might have changed it. Check the box.
I've caught one of every Pokemon. I'm happy with that.
Oh, so you don't...
And it's recorded.
So you don't want to kill everyone.
Well, are you excited to start catching Pokemon in real life in Pokemon Go?
Kind of, but then again, I like to stay at my house, so kind of no, not. But, because the entire idea is you go out and you walk around and capture Pokemon in different areas and stuff.
My friends and I are going to go to the Everest base camp to get Articuno.
Oh, cool. I mean, that sounds cool.
That's where it resides, right? That's where you got to go. I think they should do that. They should just make some Pokemon
like that.
Only allowed to... be like, you know, in one place on the earth.
Man, yeah. I'm like kind of depressed about that, because I've been like looking for jobs and I've been getting a lot of rejection letters and stuff, and I applied for the beta and they did not email me back yet, so it's like I'll just pile it on the people who don't want me. Not even Pokemon wants me.
If it helps, I haven't gotten that beta email back.
Yeah, but I gave them so much of my life in Ingress and in Pokemon.
Yeah.
They owe me.
Oh, you played Ingress.
You did play Ingress. I didn't either.
I hit level 8, which is the cap, while it was still beta. I did it. Oh. I have a founder's badge. Which means I found it.
Wow. So you know what we're in for.
It'll never end, and it's not worth it. But you're going to get addicted anyways.
So, just to finish off this question, any last, like, sort of things you enjoyed or proud of?
I hit level 8 in Ingress.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in beta. I took over the whole city. Yeah. You can actually read about it on the site. I wrote about it right after Pokemon Go was announced. I'm proud of it.
You know what? There was another thing. I did, like, in The Sims 3, I did make the robot toy into a real-life human, and that was kind of cool. Mm. So there you go. That's the only other thing.
It was hard. I think Sims-wise, I'm proud that one time, my brother and I did not use the money cheat.
What?
We actually played the game. And wow. I'm, like, proud. We did not use the money cheat.
I would argue.
It's a real playthrough.
I use the money cheat like every
I would argue
time.
That you're not really playing The Sims unless you're using the money cheat. Because otherwise, how do you buy unlimited fireplaces?
This awesome thing. Our guy, without the money cheat, he was the happiest
you're
Sim
losing.
Ever made.
He had nothing. He locked
and
them
he
in
was
the room.
The point of The Sims is to make make them as miserable as possible, isn't it?
And torture them to death.
The Sims has a lot of the same messages that Animal Crossing has. It's like you can chase everything, but isn't that an empty goal? What actually makes
Animal Crossing,
you happy?
No.
Writing letters
Ew,
makes you happy.
You have to dig holes around your neighbors so that they're stuck, and then you laugh, and every time you forget that you dug holes around them, and you find them again, you laugh again, like, ha ha ha, I forgot, I trapped you.
Oh my god, you're evil.
It's not like I do that to real people very often.
I'm just happy that in my Sims get to, like, achieve their, like, lifetime rewards, and you get a bunch of points, and you can, like, get items like a Fountain of Youth kind of thing, where you turn back, like, a generation, and I'm happy for them, so that's a great accomplishment for me. Well, like, good for you. You accomplished your dreams, and I'm sitting here playing The Sims 3.
I beat The Sims the Herbs for the DS.
Ooh.
I'm proud of that. Mm. It was a launch game. It was very bad, but I beat it.
Did it have an ending, actually?
Yeah,
or?
It wasn't it was like
just
a,
like
it wasn't a
rich.
Sims game. It was like a story where you were like fighting like the dude from Monopoly who was trying to take over the world or something. Like, it was really weird and had nothing to do with The Sims, but I beat it.
Hmm.
Cool. All right, cool. I think we should wrap this question up and we'll move on to the main
question.
Topic.
This question led down a lot of paths.
Thank you,
off the rails, as usual.
He's actually my friend, you guys. I talked to him on Twitter.
Yeah, I think we all.
No, leave my friends alone, you guys.
Okay, we'll take another short break and we'll be back with the main topic, which is going to be about RPGs. Sort of our general thoughts and like feelings towards RPGs, and like I guess we'll probably mainly end up talking about the NES and the Super NES era, and that was, you know, the most influential era for RPGs mainly.
Nick, don't spoil it for them. They'll hear it in a second.
But yeah, that's just what the general, you know, that's what we're going to be talking about. So we'll be back in a minute to talk about RPGs.
Thank you.
Alright, we're back and we're here to talk about role-playing games from NES to Super Nintendo to, I guess, maybe beyond. So, guys, what are your memories of NES RPGs? Because I haven't played, a ton, but I've played, just throwing it out there. I guess we can talk about this, the first one, and it came out last year on the Wii U, and I'm talking about Earthbound Beginnings, a.k.a. Earthbound Zero, Mother. That's the one I play the most, and I really enjoyed that. It's not really, as good as Earthbound, but it's pretty solid. It's pretty colorful. I like the dialogue. What do you guys think?
I haven't touched Earthbound Beginnings at all. I have bought it on the Wii U, but I haven't actually played it at all. Mm. I didn't grow up with an NES, so I never really played a lot of the games. I have dabbled in the first Final Fantasy game, but I've never really gotten super far into that. But
Fantasy game was sort of rough because there's an enemy that can, because the enemy sort of use the same spells you do. And there's that banish spell in Final Fantasy where it just instantly kills you, and one of the bosses has it. So I pretty much played up until that boss.
Mm.
And then he would cast that spell, and I'm like, I'm done with this game.
Yeah.
And the NES RPGs were sort of old school. I think in Final Fantasy, you had a certain number of spells you could cast, depending on your level. Was that right?
I don't remember that.
It wasn't like an MP system, was it? I might have mixed it up with another old school
RPGs. That's what how I Dungeons remember and a lot. Dragons does it. Or based on your level, you can cast so many spells.
Yeah, that's why.
So that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's
for
why
Final Fantasy to be that way.
Yeah, I mean, I do remember way more Dragon Warrior than Dragon Quest now, but Dragon Warrior from the NES. I watched my older cousin play it, my uncle play it, the first one, and that, I really feel like the first Dragon Warrior games were so much better than the first Final Fantasy games, because they just felt like a more, maybe, streamlined experience. There was less snags.
There was a bit more polish on top of them, maybe.
Yeah. And, it was just way more, it was easier to play, it was much more, I don't know, smooth experience. No, I don't think any bosses could just cast an instant kill spell on you. Stuff like that. And then, I don't know, there was one other I can remember from the NES. Baldur's Gate. And I didn't get very far in that at all. I sucked at every single game I played as a kid. I think I got, to level 2 in Baldur's Gate, but man, I would get to level 2, over and over and over again. I'd play it, I'd get to level 2, it'd get too hard, I'd stop, I'd play it again from the beginning. And Baldur's Gate was a port of a PC style, Western RPG. That was a bit more like Etrian's Odyssey, it's like a first person view of the dungeon you're crawling.
Yeah.
And, so I think that was neat. I don't know, when it was NES, in the NES days, I'm like, I can only get to level 2, but I love this game. I don't know if there's anything else. I mean, they called Zelda an RPG back in the day.
RPG.
I think Paul probably had the most experience with the first Zelda game, but Zelda 2 had a lot more RPG elements, but it's a really hard game, and it's not that much fun.
I've tried playing Zelda 2, but I've lost interest, very quickly.
Yeah, same. I've gone into it a lot of times thinking, okay, I'm going to try and play more of this game, but then I just sort of, I was like, oh, geez, I really don't want
to play me,
this.
From what little I played of it, it felt more like a kind of more of a platformer than anything, but maybe I'm wrong, but.
Well, it's an action RPG. It's Kingdom Hearts, basically.
Yeah.
You're attacking and stuff, but you're still affected by stats, basically.
See, Zelda 2 has always made me feel guilty, because when I was 9 or 10, I was in my first play, and I was backstage playing Zelda 2 for my first time, and I missed my cue. Yeah, I was supposed to be out on stage.
How did you play Zelda 2 while you're, like,
I was backstage. It was not school. It was,
you had an NES. There was a
TV set up with an NES.
Yeah,
playing,
and it was a real theater, and
what?
I never did that again. I felt so bad. I still do. Still, like, almost 20 years later, like.
And it's like Shakespeare's like, and Del something or other.
I was not in a Shakespeare play. I was like 9.
He was in Romeo and Juliet was exactly, Zelda 2. Yeah.
We both murdered ourselves on top of each other.
See, you were in that play. There was a bunch of stuff on NES, but like I caught the tail end of that, and I got all handy.
A lot of people, I know James has mentioned it a lot on RFN, but like Crystalis, was an RPG, right? Or was that another like action RPG?
What game?
I want to say it was an action RPG.
Crystalis.
I don't know.
Oh, I've heard of it. Yeah,
I've never heard.
I haven't played it, but I've heard it's an RPG.
But yeah, mostly RPGs on the NES. Like, I guess we can all sort of agree on that, like, today they're all kind of, you know, the polish isn't quite there. They're all very kind of grindy.
They come off as kind of archaic, yeah.
Archaic, but I mean, there's still, just because something's grindy doesn't make it
they're
bad.
They're shitty, that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
And,
it's just how you get used to it, I guess. I guess if you start playing...
No, Dragon... I still believe the Dragon Warrior.
The only good Dragon Quest game is the only Dragon Quest game I ever played. So, all the other ones suck.
Which one's that?
9. It also actually kind of sucks.
9.
I agree, because that's the only one I've played. I'm looking forward to 7 when it comes out later this year.
Yeah, I played for like a million hours, but when I finished, I was like, there's nothing in this game. There's no story, there's nothing to do, you just walk around and grind.
It's except actually, still very charming and fun.
Secretly, the best Dragon Quest game is Dragon Quest Heroes Rocket Slime.
Yeah!
Oh my god, yes, fuck yeah, Rocket Slime.
Where the fuck
is Rocket Slime?
They've had how many of them in Japan, and we have not gotten them?
I don't know, but I need to learn Japanese.
But what's Rocket Slime, though? I've heard of it, but...
It's great. Okay, so you're a little slime named Rocket, and you move by like pulling yourself and like flinging yourself a little bit.
It's like a DS game.
It's the best DS game. Oh my gosh, it's so good.
It is, and you have a mecha. You have like this giant tank thing.
So the whole game, you're getting parts for your mech, and then you get in your mech and you fight other people and stuff.
All at the same time. Mm. The two mechs are like locked. You're like loading ammo into it and putting parts into it. So in the top screen, you're seeing the mech fight with the other mech. And in the bottom screen, you're actually running out of the mech onto the battlefield between the two. You're gathering stuff and you're running back into your mech and loading it in. And, man, it's been forever since I played that game. Can you actually go into the other mech and mess them up?
Yes. Is that part of it?
You can invade their mech and like smack them around.
You can shoot yourself into their mech even. Like, if you run out of things to shoot. Yeah. I think you can shoot yourself. I don't really remember.
I mean, their mechs are more like giant tanks, right?
Yeah, they're giant tanks, pretty much. Oh my god! Okay, so, I have the receipt in my copy of the game. And, is this real? At the end of July in 2010, I bought this game for $10.
Oh.
Yeah, so you might be able to pick it up for really cheap. For $9.98.
Good game.
At Toys R Us, so go check. It's only 6 years later, but they might still have some.
It is a good game. If anyone out there is looking for, like, a great bit of fun, you know, it's DS, but oh my god, it's good. It is. Mm. We miss out on so much good stuff that only stays in Japan.
No,
this is like the one game that there is one copy that came here, right?
There's more and I think this is Rocket Slime 2. I think there was a one in Japan, and then this one came out here, and then there were some more in Japan afterwards. Because everyone is real chummy with you, and they're all like, oh, hey, Rocket. And I was like, who the fuck are you people? Why do y'all know me? And I think it's because it's a sequel.
So, okay, that was a DS game. Let's jump back to the Super Nintendo. Oh my god, now, I'm so okay? sorry. Okay,
yeah. I don't even think Rocket Slime is an RPG, technically.
No, it's all right, not.
Let's jump back to Super Nintendo.
It's a Dragon Warrior game, though. Probably Dragon a bit more Quest. To
say about Super Nintendo, because I've actually played, you know, more of the games than Super Nintendo.
I think we're of the age group where, like, Super Nintendo is, like, a touch point for RPGs.
Well, I didn't play any Super Nintendo, really, until, like, the early 2000s, because I never had one. So, I played these, like, later on. So, like, I didn't play Link to the Past until, like, 2002 or so.
So, do you have a link of this? Of these? Like, I mean, do you have a list? What did you choose in the 2000s with the benefit of time to look back? Which ones did you pick out?
Oh, I've played like Chrono Trigger, Super Mario RPG. I did play I think I played half of Final Fantasy VI.
Oh, that's the best one.
For some reason, I fall off the train on Final Fantasy games. Like, I intend to play them, but there's like I get sick of them quickly. I don't get into the Final Fantasy games as much as like other people for some reason, which is kind of weird because like I like other games like Golden Sun and stuff, but.
You're doing it wrong. It's all about the music.
Final Fantasy VI is really good. The opening.
Yes, FF6 is my personal touch point.
Terra's theme is really great.
Yeah, and you're just walking in that mode 7.
Yeah, and the overworld music is really good as well. The overworld music is so good in that game.
Yeah, FF6 was definitely like I played that game. And I'm like. I watched someone play it, and then I played it myself. And I was like, this is a perfect game. I am like, so, this is like, I cannot, top game.
I'm like gonna cry just thinking about that game.
The thing about RPGs from NES to Super Nintendo is that, especially for games like Final Fantasy VI, especially later on in the SNES's lifespan, like, Final Fantasy VI really like pushed the hardware, and you can really see that.
In the
NES, it was just like, you know, text. In Super Nintendo, I mean, even in Final Fantasy IV and V, I guess, and Chrono Trigger, you know, Super Mario RPG, it felt more like a fleshed out story, and you could kind of like really start to relate to characters and stuff like that.
It's weird how you say pushes the hardware, because like as a kid I was playing RPGs and I'm like, these prove that graphics don't matter, because all it is like numbers.
Five doesn't look like, that good on it.
Yeah, Final Fantasy IV doesn't look that great. It looks it doesn't hold up, but like Final Fantasy VI looks really sharp.
Yeah, I think the argument is good. Like the graphics are pretty impressive in VI. Like,
and the Chrono Trigger,
it's good. Too. But I didn't. You don't play it. I mean, my whole fandom in the Super NES era was, you know, it's like, you don't play an RPG for graphics. You play an RPG for story, people.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
No, you play an RPG for music, goddammit!
And then the music was also awesome for a lot of these games. Chrono Trigger is awesome. And that's like one of my favorite games ever.
I just like...
I mean, just in terms of soundtrack, graphics, gameplay, story, you know, all of that. It's awesome.
With RPGs, it's like, back then I just like enjoyed like becoming part of the world that they set up and like walking around and sort of like just trying to go off and do your own thing. Even though you sort of couldn't, but like it felt like you could. Just experiencing the world was like a kind of a cool thing, trying to get sucked into it.
Yeah, the world... Mm-hmm. Design is like a big part of like what made those RPGs fun, and I think that's part of what made Earthbound so amazing when I was playing it, because I'm like, it's an RPG, but this world is, it's not fantasy, it is a completely separate sort of vision of how you can do an RPG world.
It's more realistic. I mean, not like ultra realistic, but like it kind of feels like, you know, something that would happen in, like, the United States at that time, because it's very colorful. I mean, you buy stuff, like, with, like, real money. Like,
you go to ATMs.
Things like hamburgers and... ATMs. It uses a lot of real-life items.
Yeah, I thought that was great. That was a world I loved, in the fact that, like, yeah. I'm walking around and there's a police station and I can buy this house, you know, and I can ride a bike through the streets and there's stop sign and there's, you know, traffic lights and there's cars on the road, you know. That to me was a great bit of world design.
The world in Earthbound is, even though I didn't, like, even find out about it probably until, like, 2003 or whatever, it was the modern day sort of design was still a novelty then. Like, it was still sort of an original thing. Like, oh, this is, like, set in, like, the modern day sort of thing.
Oh. Yeah, actually, that just reminded me. River City Ransom on the NES RPG. RPG / side-scrolling brawler, but you make money, you go to a mall, you eat stuff, you know, you get them to smile at you for free, your stats go up, RPG.
What the fuck are you talking about? The smile
River
at
City
you?
River City Ransom?
The smile at
never
you?
Played? Yeah. There's one, because in River City Ransom, you don't have towns, you have malls between neighborhoods. Oh. So it's all these stores, and you go in and you pay them the money that you got from beating up bad guys and stealing their money, and you buy food, and the food will up your stats. And there's one store, and there's every store is different. You can go for one for, like, noodles, and that one for, like, omelets, eggs, whatever. And there's one store you can go into, and you can buy a smile, and it is free. And they will, and the clerk will actually turn and smile at you.
Why?
That was such a nice touch. Because it's the world building, because it's the small touches that matter in an RPG that makes you feel like it's more than just numbers and text.
Yeah.
But how do they pay rent if they're giving away free smiles?
Don't that question hurts. It.
That
don't
hurts the it. Word just... world building.
So, Brian, I know you're a big fan of Mario RPG. We'll just talk back a little bit because we are planning to do like a proper episode about that in, you know, a month or so time, maybe. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, Brian, can you sell you me like on that? Because I love Final Fantasy VI and Paper Mario, but I've never played Super Mario RPG. Just sell me on it.
I think Mario RPG is better than Paper Mario.
That does no, you used like
the original Paper Mario.
Let Brian do it, you guys. Let Brian do it.
I mean, Square Enix, well, not even Square Enix, it was just Squaresoft. They were on such a big roll during that time. I mean, Final Fantasy VI, Chrono Trigger, you know, games like that were some of the best that's ever been on that Super Nintendo. So, Super Mario RPG was the game that got me into RPGs because, I mean, back in the day it was like, Mario was like everything I played. So, I mean, I had to kind of get it. And the thing with Super Mario RPG is it's not, like, a difficult game, but at the same time, the world is really charming. It's a really funny game. It's really witty. And I think, which is kind of lost these days on modern Square Enix games, because it's more about, like, pushing, you know, this great big dramatic world with bunch of character names you can't even remember.
It's more about selling hairspray these days.
Yeah, it's really weird. Yeah, it's really weird these days, but this is simple, it's basic, it's colorful, it's Mario and it's Mario characters, and the new characters are really nice. I really like Geno. Mallow's pretty cool too.
I mean, like, with Geno, like, he left such an impression. People still clamor for him in Smash Brothers.
Oh, people
he's been
Geno
in one
so
game,
much.
But he's so
Geno's
memorable.
OP.
He's so
they
cool.
introduced an OP original character in Super Mario RPG. That's my take on Geno.
They should get Square to just make a Geno game.
Brian.
Geno PG. Geno RPG.
But Brian, I think you say that Mario RPG is, like, simple, but it was really innovative. It had this whole new battle system. Because remember, Square Enix had the AT active time battle for FF6.
Yeah.
Mario RPG has a different battle system. And it's easy, but it's skill-based at the same time. And it's so rewarding to get that, like, how many jumps can Mario do on that Goomba's head, because you're timing each button press, right?
Yeah. And then, some of the later attacks as well, like, they do get a little more complex in, like, the button presses and the timing and stuff, like... There's a good sort of gradual step up, like, to the more advanced moves.
Yeah, you know, I think that they did that because I think they thought, you know, this was, I still think this is very much a game designed for an audience that's never played RPGs.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're using these timed hits and you're using, press this at the exact same time and it'll cause more damage, you know. It's always about being interactive and not, like, just waiting your turn. It's about being proactive. It's about constantly being engaged. Mm. And I think that's why a lot of people got into that system, because it's really proactive. It really gets you into the game. It really pressures you to, you know, fight enemies and keep playing and using that gameplay to carry on with the story.
It was also like, because it's also Mario, having it more active and like having you mm-hmm. perform jumps and stuff was like, probably like a good choice, really. If it was just a standard RPG, you know, it wouldn't feel as much like Mario.
If they made the same kind of like Final Fantasy game with Mario, I don't think it would have worked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're kind of like saying, well, yeah, Mario plays like that, but now let's see what Mario would play like in Final Fantasy. And, you know, to Square Enix's credit, they never did that. They didn't do that.
Mm.
They did something completely different and something that would appeal to a wider audience.
And the graphics are pretty charming as well. I really like the design of a lot of the worlds and the characters.
It's like 3D, but...
Isometric?
Isometric.
Yeah. It's like isometric Donkey Kong Country. It's like the same technique they use for Donkey Kong Country.
Mm-hmm. Now, Brian...
And also that one Sonic game.
Yeah.
Wait, Sonic Chronicles?
Sonic 3D Blast.
No, Sonic 3D Blast.
Oh, okay. Because if you guys want to talk about Sonic Chronicles, I'm down.
We'll get to there eventually.
No, I'm kidding. Let's not.
Probably Mario and Luigi is the spiritual successor in terms of like that timing battle system.
Yeah.
Mario and Luigi has a lot of those timing things that happen in battle.
Paper Mario and Mario and Luigi are like, sort of like, they both took inspiration from the same game but came out with two different outcomes. It's like kind of weird.
Yeah, Paper Mario has stuff.
Mm.
And also a nice thing about this Mario RPG is the numbers were tiny. Like in FF6, you're doing 9,999 damage when you cast Ultima.
Yeah.
You know, in Mario RPG, you level up and, I mean, you're working on double digits, I think. Do you get the double digits in that game? I can't remember.
I think it would be very late in the game. I think it's like maybe 200 maximum, maybe 30. It doesn't go to 900 at all.
Yeah, because I remember the cool thing is you'd gain a level, and then you'd get to hit, like, a mystery block. You get to choose between, like, some mystery blocks or something and decide which one of your stats, and there were only three stats, you know, to worry about in that game, not like other RPGs of the time.
Yeah.
And you'd get to up it by one.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it worked. It totally did. You don't need a spreadsheet to play an RPG.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, one of my friends, like, back when Paper Mario and Mario Luigi were sort of new, that was, like, a downside to him. He liked having the numbers be, like, massive. And, like, having it, like, do 3 damage was sort of, like, a letdown to him. Which is kind of weird, but...
Yes.
But, going back to, like, being brought into a world in Super Mario RPG, like, being able to see the Mushroom Kingdom and, like, sort of walk around it and...
Oh yeah!
Like, displayed in this way, it was like really cool it felt more. You could sort of, I don't know. You got more out of the world than you did from like the side-scrolling games. You know, like you could explore it.
You got to explore it without having to constantly be battling enemies.
And yeah,
you get to talk to people, and the people always said some clever stuff. And it was really immersed. It immersed yourself in Mario's world. At least what their interpretation of that world was.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, Brian.
That was very fun. Yeah.
Would you consider it on the same level of, like, quality as Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy VI?
Hmm.
Like, would you consider it to be that great of a game?
I think it's great in its own way.
Well, not I like mean, if comparable, I had... but just like, I don't know, like, if you were to build a video game museum.
If you were going to give it, like, a power level. On a like quality, over 9,000, under 9,000.
On, like, a pure quality level, I'd say it stacks up to those as well. Like, they're different. Like, Mario RPG is different, but,
yeah.
Just in it's, terms of...
I mean, just in terms of, like, how impressive it was. I mean, Chrono Trigger was kind of way more impressive than Mario RPG in a lot of ways. But that doesn't mean Mario RPG, you know, isn't as good as Chrono Trigger.
Mm.
I think it's... I think it's slightly under, I would say, just in terms of, you know, graphics and story and things like that. But I wouldn't say it's not as good as Chrono Trigger, but Chrono Trigger's more impressive in other ways.
You know what? I'm holding my gamepad. I was about to buy it, but you failed. I hate Chrono Trigger. It was a trick question. Because Chrono Trigger does not belong up there with Final Fantasy VI.
I've never played Chrono Trigger. I personally, from the Super NES games, RPGs, Square Enix RPGs I've played, I treat it as a trinity for a Squaresoft. Because I've never played Chrono Trigger, so I put FF6, Super Mario RPG, and Secret of Mana as my Squaresoft trinity of the Super Nintendo. And those are the games where I say... This demonstrates what Squaresoft was capable of in that era.
Hmm.
And I've had Secret of Mana for a few years now, and I haven't played it yet. I've always meant to play and beat that.
Secret of Mana has drawbacks. It's definitely a lot of grind.
You should probably play it in co-op if you can.
Yeah, and definitely play it in co-op, because that's really where it really shines so much in co-op. I mean, not so much, but the fact that you're playing co-op and you could even get three people in there, and it's an action RPG, so three people in co-op, it almost turns it into like a side, you know, like an action game.
I mean, the game's cover is really nice. It's
beautiful.
And yes, it's beautiful, and the music is really awesome too, but I just haven't had the chance to like go through and beat it yet.
Well, I mean, that's what's important, is the music.
Yeah. And that's another one that's just awesome soundtrack. I mean, a lot of these games have awesome soundtracks.
So, there's definitely a lot of Squaresoft. Did any of you guys play Illusion of Gaia?
I've meant to, but I haven't. No.
No, none of us have played your made-up games, Carmine.
Oh, come on!
I might have played a little bit.
Illusion of Gaia, guys! This is Enix! Come on! It's the other half of Square Enix. I guess Illusion of Gaia veers a little more towards the action adventure RPG-ish sort of thing.
Mm.
It's structured more like a linear Zelda. So you do have dungeons and it's way more on the action RPG-ish side than the RPG thing, but it's definitely, I don't know, it's hard to separate all those because it carries a lot of the same mind space for me. And Illusion of Gaia had a really, the story gets pretty dark sometimes. There's like kids dying in that game. There's people playing like Russian roulette and losing. There's, you know, you're freeing slaves and there's skeletons lying around. And then it has like the perfect anime ending where it's like, years later! Oh wait, no, I can't spoil it. Anyways, you should look into it. If you're into like a sort of action adventure thing where it's sort of in the Zelda thing, but it also really goes all over the ancient world and you're sort of like looking for your lost dad and you've got like these slightly psychic powers that you use to solve block moving puzzles.
Well, I checked the Wii U eShop and there's no Super Mario RPG, but there is Breath of Fire. Which I will not. Don't make that sound. It's awful. I mean,
wait, which one?
Okay, 1 and 2.
Breath of Fire 2 is meant to be quite good,
but 1 is very, very by the books.
Hmm.
I played the Game Boy Advance
one. It looked good in Nintendo Power. It really did.
Now that's credited as a Capcom game, right?
It is Capcom, yeah.
But I think wasn't it developed by Square or they helped out or something?
Maybe, I think someone was hired to make it for Capcom, and then they made, like...
Yeah, someone was hired to make it for them.
The rest of the series or something. I don't know. Who cares? It's not important, because they're terrible. They're just bland. The coolest part was that at one point, you could fuse two characters together. You're like, that's cool. And you could pick who you wanted to be on the main screen. So you could be, like, the fish dude walking around, or the fox dude. I'm sure there were other characters. There was a bull dude?
Wasn't there? Maybe I'm thinking of another one of those Deathfire games. There was definitely a bull dude in one of the games. Ox, I think his name was.
Oh, maybe. But what's really important is that Final Fantasy VI is just so beautiful. Like, there's the one part when everybody dies. Oh, I love it. It's so great. Like, you think you're about to win the game, and then everybody dies. It's great.
How could we talk about Final Fantasy VI and not mention the opera scene? Okay, wait, we just...
Because everyone always talks about the opera scene, and it's not even that great. I don't even remember it from when I was a child, but I do remember the part where you wake up on the beach and you're like, oh my gosh, everyone died, and you have to, like, catch fish or some shit.
Oh, God. And do you get scurvy?
No, maybe.
Or maybe you have to do the same thing in Illusion of Gaia, and this is why Illusion of Gaia is awesome, because I think you get scurvy.
Are you serious?
Yes. You end up having to do this, and you actually start suffering the effects of not having any fresh food.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's not Final Fantasy VI.
Speaking of the opera scene in FF6, though, one of the first anime cons that I went to in 2006, Animania Sydney, there was like a cosplay group that dressed up in FF6 costumes and did the whole dance and everything.
Oh my gosh.
Kind of cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
They are professional. When they do that, they rehearse it. They've got all the sound cues set up. You know,
the costumes are really good. They're actually really good on quality costumes as well.
And the performers, I know a couple people who do it. Like, I know a couple people I knew in college do it. They're still doing it. I see them on Facebook, and I'm like, that is a topic costume. And I've seen their performances. They put a lot of work into those.
So one other game I wanted to mention also was Tales of Phantasia. Have you guys played that?
I played it once on Game Boy Advance, and then I left it in my sister's car for like 10 years. And then when she sold it, she found it, and she was like, here you go. And I just never got back to it. Wait, is it right here? Oh my god! I found it! Tales of Phantasia.
Now, that game's graphically is quite nice, but it's also got like compressed, like, opening song and FMV, I think, like some sort of basic FMV or
what?
Maybe not FMV, but they've definitely got like a compressed, like proper song, like a, you know, like imagine a Tales game opening and they've got a Japanese song playing.
Oh yeah,
it's also the prequel to Tales of Symphonia.
Is it really? Tales of Symphonia is the best game ever.
They're connected. It's the same world.
Why you say that?
Phantasia takes place like a few hundred years before. Because
I was 12 when I played that game, Carmine, and it was fucking awesome.
Oh, I don't know.
What, is it not the
I
best game ever?
I finished that game, but under protest. My best friend loved the game, Tales of Symphonia. And I, at some point, I was like, I can't take any more of this anime trope.
Yeah.
But I finished it because he wanted to.
Me and my friend always hopped up Marble, the granny character that dies at the start. And was like, aha, Marble. She died.
She did die?
She got ground up into an exosphere or whatever they were.
Yeah.
Because remember the magic things in that game were, like, created from people? And that's the whole point, I think. Or, like, some enemy was trying to use people for magic stuff.
Yeah, like, trying to steal energy from some other world or something.
They're just copying FF6. Magicite people. Those were espers.
Yeah, but they weren't people. Espers aren't people.
Espers are people! That is the whole point of the game!
That's not the point of the game.
Tara was an esper.
But she wasn't a person. She was like a green esper thing. But people... The point of Final Fantasy VI was that clowns are evil.
Yeah.
And poison your water supply. Gotcha.
Yeah, they're very evil. Keep the clowns away from the river.
Yeah.
Well, after the Super Nintendo, my first RPG was actually Pokemon. But the one that I count more so as like my first traditional RPG was Golden Sun on the GBA. So that was because that's like a proper, you know, Final Fantasy style RPG.
What just happened? Did you just skip over Quest 64?
Yeah, we're running out of, we're going long already. So let's
okay, just okay. I'll give you that.
There was Quest 64 on the 64, and it was like sucky. So that's about it.
Aw.
The main character looked like Alfalfa.
Actually, I like the look of that game. It looks very nice. Colorful.
It was super grindy, but yeah, it was way too grindy. But I played a ton of that game. But yeah, let's we're going over and maybe that's all we have to say about that.
Let's not talk
Golden,
about
it. Golden Sun. I remember getting Golden Sun for Christmas in 2001, and it was just graphically like mind blowing to me. Like the graphics looked like sort of 3D ish, and like just working out, you know, exploring the world and. You know, because after Pokemon, like going to like a Golden Sun style game, it felt different.
That's huge.
Yeah.
You know, I think the reason that I hate Breath of Fire so much is because I was out looking for Breath of Fire because it looked good in Nintendo Power, and I found Golden Sun, and my brother was like, "Oh, I heard this game is good," so I got it, and it was fucking amazing. It was so good. Mm. And then immediately after beating Golden Sun, I played Breath of Fire. I was like so underwhelmed. Oh, is that a doggy? Is that a doggy? You guys, do you guys hear a dog?
Did he ask?
Keep going at him. Keep going.
Yes, I love dogs. But yeah, Golden Sun is beautiful. I just loved that it was like a big epic fantasy story, but it wasn't like so boring. Like a lot of the older RPGs are very like thou shalt, you know, talk like Lord of the Rings and be boring. And it's like, well, I'm a little kid, you know, I don't want to play that shit. But in Golden Sun, they all spoke to you like you were a child because you were like a child. I think you were like 12 in that game. In most RPGs, you're like angsty teenager, young people. but in this one, you were like kids out exploring the world. It was the first time you'd ever left. And there were a lot of like really interesting people and they all
there's a lot of cool places jiggled. Too, like the villages and that were cool to visit, and like you went on a boat to cross like the water and stuff. And
I think that was cool. Two.
But there was a boat in the first one. You went onto a boat.
Was there?
And you did stuff. I don't think you controlled the boat though. It was just like you went onto a boat at one stage.
They kind of fused together for me, but together they are much better than Breath of Fire. But I love that everyone jiggled, like you know, right before they started talking, they would jiggle.
And they use emoticons to...
Like, I secretly do that in my head right before I start talking every time. Like, I just, like, in my head, I'm jiggling a little, like, oh, Camelot said it's my turn to speak.
What did you think of, like, the synergy stuff and, like, you could interact with the world and you had to collect the Jin and,
That was all great. I'm like you. My first RPG was Pokemon. So that was really good that I had something I could collect.
Yeah.
And that I had overworld puzzle stuff I could do. I mean, none of it was really hard, but it was a little time
consuming. Some of the summons were really cool to watch. I liked watching them.
They were beautiful. Like, yeah. you could mix up the djinn that everyone had to give them, like, special abilities and stuff. Mm-hmm. But if you mix them up, then you couldn't get the coolest looking summons. So I was really boring and I was always like, oh, Isaac, you get 8 earth djinn.
Yep.
But did you ever play Dark Dawn?
No, I've still got it sealed. I haven't opened it yet.
Well, it's okay. You don't have to open it.
Brian, did you play Golden Sun?
I did not. My brother really got into it, but for whatever reason, I did not.
You haven't played it since either?
What?
Yeah, you haven't played it at all then?
Either, actually. No. It totally missed me by. I actually played other
it's
games.
It's on the Wii U eShop. Like, at the beginning, it goes...
I think I've got an idea here. Adam, you have to download Super Mario RPG, and
it's not on
Brian
the eShop.
Should download Golden Sun.
It's not on the eShop.
I'll do it if Adam downloads Mario RPG.
Virtual console.
I'll do it.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would do that if Adam's up for that.
I mean, if you guys are gonna make me, I guess I'll play.
I think you'll enjoy Mario RPG, though, Adam. I think you'd like it.
But is it gonna be better than Super Paper Mario?
Sorry?
Is it gonna be better than Super Paper Mario?
I like everything more than Paper Mario.
What?
Yeah. Super Mario RPG is my favorite RPG.
No, Paper Mario is the best Paper Mario game.
The opening of Super Mario RPG is, like, really epic as well. It starts off basically with, like, you're going into Bowser's castle and you're, like, fighting him and everything. It's, like, really cool.
Yeah.
Oh, it sounds like every Paper Mario game.
Well, it's a cool opening scene.
It's cool, yeah.
Yes, it's really cool.
Isn't the opening scene of Super Mario RPG you're going into Bowser's castle?
Yes, yeah,
fighting Bowser.
Yeah. That's what I was talking about. Said.
All right, so we should.
It's on top of a chandelier, and it's all cool.
And then Smithy drops out.
Also, there's this really weird late era DS game that I don't think anyone else has ever heard of, called Solar Robo.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
You heard of it? Carmine, do you own this game? Or are you going to be like, I love this game? Because you always do that with the coolest games. Carmine?
Ooh, I'm back.
Oh, you're back. Have you ever heard of Solar Robo?
I've heard of it. I think it's in my backlog. No, I don't think it's in my backlog. It might be in my backlog.
Red the Hunter?
My backlog.
Well, it's really cool. You're this, like, dog dude, and you are in a giant mech suit, and you run around and hit things and, like, pick things up and throw them at each other, and that's, like, how the combat is. But you level up a little, and there's a pretty decent story, but it came out really late in the DS. And they made some other game for, like, the PlayStation that also didn't do very well. And they said, like, if this doesn't do well, we're never making any more games. And it was really sad because I don't think it did well. But I liked it. Like, halfway through the game, you, like, turn into a person, and then, like, you think it's the end of the game, and then it turns out, like, you unlocked the sequel. You play through more, and you're not a person anymore, and you're like, whoa, what happened? I thought I was a person.
Okay, so, on GBA, the GBA mainly had, like, ports of other RPGs, and, like, we were just talking about Golden Sun and Super Mario. I mean, Mario and Luigi, do you want to quickly go over those before we jump to DS?
Oh, yeah. Sorry for jumping around. Mario & Luigi is a lot of fun. I loved the first one. The second one kind of killed the series for me, but the first one had great pacing. I really liked kind of like the hub area with like the coffee shop and the bad shop. And I don't know, it was really charming. I wanted to keep going back there, keep going through the story. And I like the Bean Kingdom. All the characters are kind of... They look like Mario characters. Like in the second one, they were all aliens and they didn't really look like Mario characters.
Hmm.
But yeah, that's a good game.
I've played about a couple of hours of that game. I think I maybe beat the first and second boss, I think. I didn't get that far, but I have played it and I do like what I've played of it. I don't know. It's pretty decent. It's a pretty decent RPG.
Yeah, I think it's like what you were saying about how Super Mario RPG is kind of an intro RPG. I feel like the whole Mario and Luigi series is kind of that way. Like, you'd feel comfortable giving it to someone who, I don't know, is a pretty strong reader for elementary school, and they'll be able to get through the game. Like, you won't have to come and help them.
It can be tough, but not like... Like, it sets you up in a very safe way, not like Final Fantasy, where they just throw you in the overworld and say, oh, well, here you go.
Yeah.
It's more linear in some aspects, and it's also more straightforward, and it gives you a lot of help.
Yeah.
All those games do.
The world is very well put together. I like games that don't have an overworld. I mean, the overworld can be nice, but if it's all just interconnected, like Pokemon or the Mario RPGs, like, that's just so much cooler to me than, like, stepping outside the border and, like, oh, now the town looks really small and shitty, and you're, like, walking across a desert.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I don't like about Final Fantasy is the overworld maps. Those can be really just kind of bare and full of, you know, attacks and things like that. It's kind of boring and kind of it's easy to get lost.
Yeah.
There's none of that in the Mario games. That's what I like about them too.
Well, I mean, one of the things that I love about RPGs is, yes, the overworld is like an abstraction of, you know, of the real world where everything's interconnected. But I love that abstraction aspect of the genre, you know, the fact that we've boiled everything down so far into like this idea of a battle system and this idea of a contest between two sides that plays out in simple numbers and simple menu choices that RPGs are like super simple. Anyone can pick them up and play them, and as long as you figure out what's going on, and most RPGs are like this, you put in enough time, you can level to a place where you can beat it. Yeah. It's like the, it is, I mean, I love RPGs, but they are also, in a way, the world's easiest game genre.
Well, Dragon Quest is like the first casual game. Didn't Yuji Horii want to make a game where anyone could play, like even your mom? Like,
yeah, it makes a lot of sense to me, and especially because, yeah, you don't need anything to really beat the first RPGs aside from time and knowing what not to do at some point. But it wasn't based on twitches. And part of, and so I love the fact that they've taken all this, this concept of a battle, which could be a real-time system and be really twitchy, and taken it and boiled it. The entire genre is about abstraction down to a simple thing. And if you think about it, you can take that and you can reapply it. We don't have to be fighting each other. This RPGs could be retooled, the entire genre and all its mechanisms could be retooled to do stuff like debates. It could be stuff like baking competitions.
Yeah.
You know, you don't, it's a really simple but super versatile genre if that's what you wanted to do with it. So, yeah, the nostalgia in me loves the overworld, but also I love the fact that it means that you can turn it into anything when you have that much abstraction going on.
Yeah, that's something that I've always really respected about RPGs, is that the mechanics don't really matter. Like, it's...
I mean, they're like exciting, judging, and you want to understand them and utilize them, but yeah.
Yeah, but the older ones, you know, it was always all the same, like the turn-based RPGs, like they didn't really bring much, but it was just a vehicle to tell a story, which I thought was really impactful when I was a kid. I was like, wow, it's stories. Like, you don't judge a book based on like what kind of paper it's printed on. So why would you judge an RPG based on like the battle system? It's all about the story and the music.
Yeah, I mean, like,
if the battle system's really bad and sort of, like, unfair or just, like, broken, doesn't really work properly, like, then it starts to become, like, you know, it's not as much fun, it's not as good. Like,
well, if they don't even fix the battle system, chances that their story is worth telling are pretty low.
I think for these Super Nintendo and NES games, I mean, RPGs, when it comes to that, I think that, like, the gameplay isn't, like, the main factor. It is a factor, but it's not the main factor. And I think these days, I think a lot of it is more gameplay focused, and, I'm not gonna say, like, the story isn't as important today, but I think there's more emphasis back in the Super Nintendo days, and, just because, you know, they couldn't, not everything was an action role-playing game, so that's probably why. But yeah, I see what you mean. Like, gameplay isn't, like, the biggest factor, like, going back a few generations. I think it is more today, but not back then.
So, we probably won't really get stuck into the DS RPGs today, because
I think actually RPG, an entire genre, is really ambitious.
Some technical difficulties, but we might do like a more in-depth like look at the RPG library on the DS at some point in the near future. It might be fun.
I am sorry, guys. This started off, we were going to talk about one RPG. And then we were going to talk about two RPGs, and then it turned into all RPGs.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't going to be all RPGs. It just sort of like some of our thoughts and memories on various games we like and played like over the years. You know, so I hope people have sort of enjoyed our meanderings through the RPG conversation.
Well, who cares? I enjoyed it.
Okay, just quick one like honorable mention DS RPG that you think people should check out that isn't like a well known one, something a little more obscure.
You want that from us?
Yeah, from you guys.
Oh well,
Just one. There's so many obscure.
We're going to come back to the DS. But okay. Just quick.
Yeah. I guess I picked Solidarobo, even though I never beat it. I'm sorry, it was pretty good.
Okay. Brian?
I don't know, because, like, the first one that comes to my mind is, like, Dragon Quest IX, so, and that's not, you know, like, obscure, so. I mean, I've heard, what's that one Square Enix one? It's, like, The World Ends With You. Yeah, I've heard that one's really good.
Yeah, that's meant to be quite good.
You know, just, we never even really went into, like, tactic RPGs, like Fire Emblem. But, Final Fantasy Tactics A2 is really good, too. I recommend that.
Cool.
Come on. Really improves upon the first game in a lot of ways. It's really fun.
I guess Lost in Blue is not one. Well, it's him. Away Shuffle Dungeon? Maybe? No, that's also an action. Action RPGs count, huh? Away Shuffle Dungeon.
Yeah, right.
Yep. Yeah, we talked about Zelda for like 20 minutes.
I've got one. It's called Rhapsody, a musical adventure, I think it's called. I do have it on the DS in my room. It's kind of a cool little RPG. I mean, it's quite simple. It was actually on the PS1, but they basically reworked a lot of the game for the DS release. And it's sort of just like a really cute RPG. It's like the main characters, I think they're like, there's musical stuff, but I think there's also a lot of like cake attacks and like food related ones as well. So that's kind of a funny little RPG that, you know, doesn't seem to get mentioned a whole lot. But anyway, that we'll save that for the DS segment we do in a little while. So, all right. So thanks guys for coming on this episode.
Apparently only part one in our adventure into the genre of RPGs.
Well, so part two is going to be focused on Mega Man Battle Network, because those are the best games of all time.
Yeah, we could focus on some, you know, more on the GBA and the DS. And
you mean those games have the best music ever?
Oh, gosh, the music. There's the one song that plays over and over again whenever anything bad is going to or is happening in all six games. And it's like one measure long and it just keeps repeating.
Because it's that good.
I love that music because it's so intense, man.
So, yeah, if people want to ask, like, some, you know, send you some questions or comments about RPGs, we would, like, love to read them out on the show and sort of discuss some more RPG stuff. So, yeah, if anyone wants to send in email, they can at, which is connectivity, what is it? Connectivity at NintendoWorldReport.com. And you could just drop something in the talkback for this show when it's posted, or even on Twitter, which is at ConnectivityNWR. We should have the results in from the latest poll that we went out today by then, what character Adam should cosplay as. So we can choose from Princess Peach, Mario, Toad, or Rey from Star Wars. So I hope it's, you know, Rey, maybe. Be humorous.
I think I can only pull one of those off.
Mario?
The fat dude with the facial hair.
I'll vote for Mario. I don't want to make you dress up as Rey from Star Wars or Princess Peach or anything like
Thank
that.
You. You know, Toad is, like, hairless, so I'd have to do something about that.
You have to put on, like, a giant nappy and a mushroom hat.
What? No, he wears giant pants, a tiny vest, and a giant hat. That's what I'd have to do.
He has to leave, like, one hair, like in the cartoon. I think, like, he took it off once. I think he was bald except for, like, maybe one hair.
Oh, yeah!
Toad used to have, like, the squeaky voice. Now he's got, like, a, I don't know, some sort of grouchy voice.
All right. Well, guys. Bye. Yep.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Come on, says bye.